Awesome. Well, it's destiny time, right? Bit of a rewind. If you're new here, this part is for you. We're in this series about understanding what destiny is. Everyone knows what a destination is, right? How many of you hope to go somewhere other than Joburg in the next maybe 6 months? Who's hoping on getting out of this town? You know, someone needs to put the lights off because we're heading out of here. So maybe you're traveling home for the December holidays. You're going to a destination. Destiny is kind of like that. It's I'm going somewhere. I'm going to do something. And so we've kind of understood it as a specific task that God wants me to accomplish while I'm here on earth. It's probably not learning an instrument in and of itself. It's probably not just getting a day job. But it's somehow taking that instrument and doing something with it that God wants us to do. It's finding maybe that day job and doing something with that. Or it's alongside what we do, whether it's at school or home or in our community. It's some task that God is wanting me to step up and accomplish. And it links to my abilities. It's something I can do. It's also about my passion. It's something that I'm excited about. No one forces you to live your destiny. Destiny is that thing that you want to do, that you're going to do, that like, hey, this is cool. I want to do this. It meets a need. So obviously we're saying it's not self-serving. It's not just my need, okay? It's some need out in the world, and my conscience is driving me. It's like someone pushing me. I'm like, quit shoving. And I realize it's not an outward shoving. It's an inward. Have you ever been pushed inwardly to do something? Anyone? Either that voice is in you that is pushing you forward. If you've seen the movie The Book of Eli, which I better not talk about too much because it was the highlight of my Saturday morning yesterday. But this dude had heard this voice that said, go west, take the Bible west. And it was a stunning story, but it all began with that conscience, that voice. And that young girl said to him, how did you know? I just knew. You know, there comes that knowing in your life. And then we spent some time finding it. We actually looked at our abilities, our passion, our needs, and our conscience. We looked closer, and we saw what that was all about. We then wrote a statement, my destiny is, and some of us even got to share it. And so we began to feel like we were penciling in, not pen maybe, because we were, hey, I want to check this out, not so sure. But it's a pencil thing that God has put me on the earth to do something. We ran it by two tests. So we said, so if I'm going to do this thing, does it glorify God? Let me tell you that what you did this morning and standing and worshiping and singing, lifting your arms, kneeling, that glorified God. That brought God immense pleasure. You know, if you're a parent and your kid comes home and or does something special and you're just like so, so proud and it's like, man, this is the greatest day of my life. That's my kid, you know? If a kid does something bad, like, honey, that's your kid. You know what I mean? Like, Debs, what's up with your son? He's like manifesting demonic, you know, it's like your child. Hey, the kid did really cool, that's my child, you know. But God doesn't, God is like, he just looks down and he receives your word. That's to glorify God. And so our destiny, that thing we're going to do is going to make God happy. And secondly, it's going to build others up. It's going to enrich their lives. It's going to make them maybe more like him and want him. We spent a bit of time refining it, as we said, so let's speak it out. We had some small group stuff happening. And then we began to look at, well, how do we live it? Last week, we said, there's some red light stuff. There's some things that stop me living my destiny. And we heard from Sir Winston Churchill that in the time of war, he said this, to every man that comes in his lifetime or her lifetime, that special moment when he or she is figuratively tapped on the shoulder and offered a chance to do a very special thing unique to them, fitted to their talents. But oh, what a tragedy if that moment finds him unprepared or unqualified for that work, which would be their finest hour. And all of Britain need to step up and rally and work against the onslaught of that invading nation. And that was their moment. And we looked at what are some of those things that would keep us being either unprepared or unqualified. And we spoke about what some of those were. And we looked at David. We saw that for David, he was like chilling out when he should have been out at war. He was sleeping in the afternoon. He wasn't doing what he should have done. He was just like abandoning that work that God had called him to. He had sent all the men in his life away, so there was no accountability around him, no buddies to say like, oh, Dave, what are you doing? Why are you like sleeping in the afternoon? What's wrong? Are you like in depression or something? You know, here, have a fizzer, because apparently fizzer is very good for depression. Apparently, it's not medically proven. Okay, so don't try it without parent supervision. Okay. And but then he gets up and he goes and he's bored now. He's looking for something. So he spies out Bathsheba taking a bath and he's like all into Bathsheba and it's like awesome. And his message, oh no, she's married. So anyone at that point says, oh, sorry, my bad. You know, I'm going to like go and look somewhere else. Look in the classifieds for like single ladies or something. Not this dude. He's like, bring her. He sends people to get her. And he destroys his destiny at that moment by engaging in stuff. It's just crazy. And next minute, there's a baby child. And next minute, you know, he's at a funeral because the baby child has died. And it's a disaster. His whole family fell apart after that incident. Absalom, his son, comes with a rebellion. He's all like proud about his long hairs. Absalom, he gets caught in his long hair in a tree. It's like, nuts story. You got to read that story. It's like Bold and the Beautiful on steroids. Absolutely. So watch out. Don't get long hair. Or if you do, don't ride horseback under trees. Or maybe just duck, and that should be okay. So today, we want to talk about, so if that's what stops us living our destiny, what will actually help us live our destiny? Okay, got it? So this is the green light stuff. Last week, we did the red light stuff. Things to avoid. This week, it's what should we do? And so we're going to look at another story today. And there's always like a rich guy in a story. There's always like a woman. Has to be. You know, every story, there's like this temptress. I don't know what it's with you women, but you give us guys a really hard time. Life would be a lot easier if you didn't like, you know. Oh, sorry, that's not the point today. It's not anti-woman day. It's spring day or whatever. But yeah, this is how the story goes down. A little bit of history. Joseph hears his destiny in a dream. And in his dream, his brothers and his father and his mother and everyone comes and bows down to him because he's saving their lives. He's like, what? I'm like this nobody child. I think he's second last born, if I'm right. There's like a younger kid, Benjamin, in the home. And his brothers are so jealous about what happens that they go and plot to kill him. And they want to kill him, but fortunately the older brother Reuben says, no, let's not kill him. Let's sell him off. We can use the money. You know, most of us, we don't have airtime. You know, he says to the brothers, you don't have airtime. You want to buy that new FIFA game? And the brothers are like, hey, yeah. And he says, well, I know where to get money. And there's this caravan going down to Egypt. We'll sell him off and we'll exchange him for 75 Rand airtime, two FIFA games, and one EA Sports game. And they tune like, cool, let's do it. And before you know it, he's on a caravan. Now, most times when you're in a caravan, that's a lack of holiday. But if you're as a slave, and you're probably tied behind the caravan being dragged. So it's not exactly like first class, okay? Before you know it, he's up on auction, and he's a slave. He gets bought by Potiphar, and that's where we pick up the story. Joseph had been taken down to Egypt, and Potiphar, everyone say Potiphar. Some of you should name your kid Potiphar. Say it again, Potiphar. Because you can say pot, like short. Pot, and you can even use the second part. You can like, far, you got like lots of choices. Or PT is a shortened form of that, okay? Everyone say Potiphar. Potiphar, okay? So how many of you want to name your son Potiphar? She's going to, they're going to. Okay, that's really cool. Potiphar and Konzo. Now, Joseph had been taken down to Egypt, and Potiphar, did I tell you about Potiphar? Oh, yeah, I've done that. An Egyptian, he's from where? So bright. Who was one of Pharaoh's officials. So he's an official of the king, the ruler. That's the Pharaoh, okay? It's like Jacob Zuma. The captain of the guard is this dude who brought him from the Ishmaelites. That's a tough word to say, but you can try it on your own time. And they had taken him there. And the Lord was with Joseph, and he prospered, and he lived in the house of his Egyptian master. When the master saw that the Lord was with him, and the Lord gave him success in everything he did, Joseph found favor in his eyes and became his attendant. Potiphar put him in charge of his household and entrusted to his care everything he owned. From that time he put him in charge of his household and all that he had owned. The Lord blessed the household of the Egyptian because of Job. That's quite significant. The blessing of the Lord was on everything Potiphar had, both in the house and in the field. So he left in Joseph's care everything he had. With Joseph in charge, he did not concern himself with anything except the food he ate. That's an easy life. I wish to be Potiphar. I'm going to change my name. How much is it to change your name at the Department of Home Affairs? They're on strike, so there's no name change. So we have to go back to the original plan. We're going to have lots of children. We're going to call them Potiphar. Okay, that's the only way. But we do need some Josephs. Now, here's what I want you to do. I don't know if there's anything in here about Joseph living his destiny. I haven't had time this week. It's been a very busy week. We've been hanging out. We've been doing stuff. But I think maybe you can find some stuff in this passage, and I'm going to flick it over to part two once you've done this in a few minutes. If you can find some stuff, surprise me. You know what I mean? Like, oh my gosh, okay? And you'll come back and report back. Okay, here's another part to the story. Now, Joseph was well-built and handsome. Imta, won't you just wave? He looked something like that. But he had had a makeover. So that's when he started, and then he had an extreme makeover. And after a while, his master's wife took notice of Joseph and said, come to bed with me. Maybe she was lonely. I don't know. Maybe she was scared because the master was away. But he refused. With me in charge, he told her, my master does not concern himself with anything in the house. Everything he owns, he has entrusted to my care. No one is greater in this house than I am. My master has withheld nothing from me except you because you are his wife. How then could I do such a wicked thing and sin against the master? God. And though she spoke to Joseph day after day, he refused to go to bed with her or even be with her. One day he went into the house to attend to his duties, and none of the household servants was inside. She caught him by his cloak and said, come to bed with me. He looked around and the master wasn't there. He said, maybe just a quick kiss. And they held hands and they kissed, and they didn't do anything too serious. They didn't really have sex, it didn't go like that. But he left his cloak in her hand and ran out of the house. Okay, find maybe another thing in there that helped him live his destiny. The group on my far right, if you can come forward, and you don't necessarily have to share every single thing. I want you to share maybe two or possibly three items. So kind of look at what you've got. I might give you a chance to jump back in the end and add anything else in, okay? So what helped Joseph live, or what will help us live our destiny even, if you take it even beyond just Joseph? There we go. In the mic. It's yours, sister.
Joseph was with the Lord. He was reliable and responsible. For example, he took care of everything he had. He said he didn't allow to be tempted to temptation, to be led to temptation. He got blessed because he was hardworking.
Okay, hardworking. And your first point was that he was with the Lord. Okay, let's have the next group moving across at the back. Lennon. We don't want to do that.
Joseph found favor in the eyes of Potiphar, and we thought that because he found favor, he probably was very honest, truthful, hardworking, and a man of principles.
Firstly, his brothers helped him to live out his destiny by, even though they sold him as a slave, and they did wrong like to him, it still helped him to get to Egypt to save everyone else. Then Potiphar bought him, which was also important, because without that, he couldn't have got thrown into jail and all of that stuff. And then the Lord helped him to succeed. And then Potiphar made him his attendant, and he succeeded even more. And then Potiphar put him in charge of his whole household. Okay, so God made him successful in all he did. And then he didn't betray his master, but because it was Potiphar's wife, not his. So, because he respected Potiphar and he respected God, so he wouldn't go and sin against God either. And God helped him to resist and to not sin against God and Potiphar's wife. Yeah.
He trusted in God's plan, and he still kept faith even though he was a slave and he was betrayed by his family. And because of that, the Lord blessed him. And then Joseph feared God more than he feared Potiphar, so he wanted to do what was right for God rather than his master. And he also respected his master, and he was trusting and hardworking, and that's one of the reasons why he's put in charge of the household.
Okay, so for our thing, I have to explain it a bit, right? Because for the part with the cloak thing, right? When Potiphar's wife was trying to seduce him, he left his cloak with her, right? Now we thought, well, I mean, he's just been sold, and he's a slave, so that's probably all he owned, that cloak. Right? And for him to leave all that he owned to follow God, that just shows how much he trusted God and how good he was with God. Yeah.
That makes me excited to kind of like read my Bible more, don't you think? One little story, like 10 verses, has told us that if we're reliable and responsible, if we avoid temptation, if we work hard, if we make sure that we're with the Lord, that we're honest, truthful, and principled, if we look out for the help of our brothers around us, sisters, other people, if we get bought, in other words, if we get a position, maybe through a job, a career, or someone opens a door, someone gives us a handout, if we respect God and Potiphar, we trust God's plan despite what it looks like. I think that's a key point. That it might not look so kosher at the moment, but hang in there. Trust God in the process. Fear God. Don't do anything that would destroy your relationship with God. And then, what am I willing to leave to follow after God? I want to challenge you as we finish this series to work on your character. Listen how it goes. And I think we've used this once before, but watch your thoughts. They become your words. So what I think becomes what I say. What's your words? They become your actions. What I think becomes my words, become my actions. And what's your actions? They become your habits. So I think it, I say it, I do it. Ooh, that becomes a habit. Quite hard to break a habit, right? Anyone ever try to break a habit? Yeah, it's a bit hard. And they become your character. So if I do things habitually, that becomes my character. And watch your character, for it will become your destiny. It's who you are. Joseph, who he is communicating something to Potiphar and then to Pharaoh that this is a man of significance. After a little time in jail, didn't go to that part of the story, goes a little bit pear-shaped and he lands up in jail for a good couple of years because he's a man of integrity. So even if it gets really desperate, hang on because you will be appointed back and he becomes the second most powerful man in all of the world. And so working on who I am and that I'm doing, you know, doing what's right. If I know that it's a sin to steal a pin, and I say I'm never going to steal. If I know that it's wrong to speak against someone. If I can just watch those little things and just how I think. I'm a nobody. No, I don't think that. You're not a nobody. You're precious and honored in God's sight. And God is willing to give people in exchange for us. So watch character. And then take responsibility. We see it all over here. Someone who keeps commitments. If he said he was going to do something, Joseph did it. He was proactive in everything he did. He made sure that that place was running and popping. Faithful in little things. You run Potiphar's household and one day you're going to run the country. But you need to be shown to be faithful. Anthony Robbins, a motivational speaker, says it's in your moments of decision that your destiny is shaped. Enjoy the festival. They're going off to the Joburg, going to help out at, what is it? The Joburg Jazz on the Lake. Dude, it's so romantic that I'm going to help out. It is in your moments of decision that your destiny is shaped. It's as you make those little decisions, what I'm not going to do, what I am going to do, my destiny is shaped. And get skills, son. You think you got a couple. You need a couple more skills. Get some skills, son. And maybe read and study. If you don't know too much and you feel like, yeah, I want to get people to Mars so that we can find water on that distant planet to populate it because there's too many people in my suburb, then read a bit about Mars, okay? Learn some new skills. Paul Tillich, a theologian, said that man is asked to make of himself what he is supposed to become to fulfill his destiny. To fulfill my destiny, I need to make of myself what I need to become to fulfill it. It's more about who I am. It's not just about tricks. And so work on yourself. And then lastly, make it happen. Pray. Pray like nothing else matters. Plan like praying doesn't matter. And bring those two together. Pray and plan. And then when you're done that, pray some more and plan some more. Find people who can pray into your destiny with you and say, hey, I want to do this. Won't you come and pray with me? And find people who will actually maybe help you. I'm going on a road trip on Wednesday, Thursday to Swaziland. Letty, have you been to Swaziland on one of those missions? We're going to be doing a mission trip early in the new year to Swaziland. Some of you have done Holiday Club with us, and that was awesome. And we might still do that next year. But the next thing is a road trip to Swaziland. You're going to have to get a passport to come with us. But we're going to go to a town that was, and actually Keenan Party knows better than me, but and I'll know after my trip there this week, but this was a mining town that shut down, and it became overgrown by bush. And some guys decided to do something about this. Are they Canadian or from where? They're Canadian guys, and they said, we're going to raise money, and we're going to reclaim this town, and we're going to make it like a place for orphans and outreach, and they've got this, they're reclaiming bit by bit of this whole place. And there's lots of teenagers on the property, like 60 or something, am I right? I don't know if they're from the workers and folk that are there, and a lot of children. So we're going to do a teen mission to teenagers next year, okay? And so Roger now has heard about it, and he's mobilizing some of us to get involved. And so it's not just these two brothers. They are bringing in others to revamp this town. You can't do it on your own. So your destiny, you need help with it. And take the next step. Take the first step. What is something that I can do? Something in the right direction, okay? Believe it or not, everything I do in life, it's all about the next step, my next thought, my next action, who I call, what I do. It's just that next thing. If you feel immobilized, like, what do I do? Like, just take some action, any action in the right direction, and God will move you while you're moving. And there'll be obstacles. We've seen in the story that there's obstacles along the way, right? It's tough. No one says it's going to be smooth, plain sailing. There's going to be things in the way. Do you think the devil wants you to live your destiny? Don't be crazy. He wants to, like, knock the stuffing out of you. But you know what? Everything he throws at you, you're going to turn and you're going to go in your face. Because what you meant for bad, God planned for good. And that's how the story wraps up. What you had meant for bad, God planned for good in Joseph's life. And so God was a part of it the whole way. I want to say that you're special. Can you hear that this morning? That you are special. That you can make a difference. You, with your abilities, your passion, your conviction, can make a difference. You can fulfill your destiny. There is nothing stopping you. And if God is for you, who can really be against you? No, I'm not fighting God. I'm not fighting the one who created everything we see on planet Earth. And so look for opportunities to grow and to be all that God has called you to be. Find out where God is working and join him there, and then you'll be awesome. To every man that comes in that time and once in his lifetime, maybe a couple times, when he is figuratively tapped on the shoulders and offered a unique work to do that is uniquely tailor-made to his unique abilities. What a tragedy if that moment finds him unprepared and unqualified for the work which would be his final hour. I don't know about you, but I don't want to miss out what God wants me to do. I want to do what God wants me to do. You're going to live your destiny. As you find it, as you live it, as you look back on life at the end of your life, you won't say, what a wasted life. You know, potential. No, we're going to live our life to the full. Let's bow for a word of prayer. Father God, you've called us to something significant, and we're in the process of figuring out. And it may be something for us to do in this coming week. It may be something next month. It may be something that's going to take a little while. And Lord, we thank you that you're leading us step by step towards our destiny. But you've called us to make of ourselves what we will become so we can fulfill our destiny. And it's in those moments where our destiny is shaped, those moments of decision. And so, God, we know that you've made us uniquely, that we are ordained and blessed of you. You've chosen us from before the foundation of the earth. And we want to be used of you in a profound and a powerful way. We pray that the story of Joseph would stay with us for the rest of our lives. A man of integrity. Someone who worked hard and did what you called him to do. Someone who withstood temptation, withstood the desires of the devil to take him away from his destiny. Lead us into all that you have for us. And we know, God, that you will come through and you will do beyond and above what we can imagine. And all to you be the glory, not to us. You are able to do immeasurably more than we can even imagine. So we give you all the glory and the honor. In Jesus' name, amen.